Great to be here this morning. Great to worship with you. Great to be with the family of God. And that's what we're going to be looking at here in Mark. We're coming to the end of Mark chapter 3. And actually next week we're going to be talking about the sower, the seed, and the soils. But we're in Mark. We've been going through Mark. Mark chapter 3. We come to the conclusion of this chapter. And we're going to be talking about new relationships. When a person becomes a true Christian, a true believer, they enter into a new relationship with one another in Christ. A true Christian is a person that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. And every true believer is a member of God's body, the body of Christ, and will enjoy fellowship with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I got a number of relatives here, physical. Can I see your hands, relatives? Donna's in the nursery. I got Donna here. I got Rosemund. I got Carl here. I got William back there. I got Marion over here. I got Jason and Jennifer and whole five children somewhere around here. They're in the back there in the junior church, right? But they're close physical relationship. My wife is not physically related to me, but she's one flesh. When you get married, you become one flesh, right? Okay, so I would say she's the closest in that regard, obviously. And we have a number of other folks. It was good to meet Ingrid's granddaughter, Carla, right? We had prayed for her and her aunt, right? Am I right on all that? So it's good to have you here, Grandma there, right? So Grandma, three generations, praise the Lord. So it's good to have them with us, and it's good to have everybody. So in reality, what we're going to be talking about is that relationship we have. But first of all, our relationship and our personal families. All of us were born in families. None of us had a choice where we were going to be born, right? I didn't have the choice to be born in the Wilbur Cerrone family. I'm Wilbur and Cerrone. My mother was a Wilbur. She married a man by the name of Kono Cerrone. So obviously my name is Cerrone, but I'm obviously Wilbur too. Got a couple Wilbur William there. He's a Wilbur. Of course, Rosamund's a Wilbur, but she's also married to Carl, so her name's Wondell, right? So that's the way it works. And so but we have physical relationships, all of us do. And I was thinking a lot about that. Now, in this passage, very interestingly, Mary and comes with his brothers, to talk with him. Now, they're in the house there. And they arrive, and they're going to come and talk with, they want to talk with the Lord. And that's his physical, that's his mother, physically. His brothers, after Mary and Joseph got married, they had more children. The Bible tells us that in Luke's gospel. It mentions their names. I will turn to that probably later. But they're coming to see him. But he's inside with other people that are not his physical relatives, but they're a different kind of relative. And so all of us here as believers are brothers and sisters in Christ. We use that terminology. Now, I'll have to admit, when I first became a believer and I heard that kind of terminology, I was like, what? You got all these brothers and sisters in the church? And I didn't understand the spiritual aspect of it. But that's what we are. So physical relationships are... Now here's what's the double blessing. When you got a physical relative is also a spiritual relative, you have what I call double blessing. Right? You can't beat it. That's the frosting on the cake, so to speak. When you have your physical family, also part of your spiritual family, it just is a blessing. As we were singing that song, There's Power in the Blood, I was thinking back. I heard that song on Friday nights. Don and I, before we became believers, or right about the time we became believers, used to go down to on River Road. They used to have Teen Challenge there. Everybody has heard of Teen Challenge? Well, they had a Teen Challenge down there. And there was this young man who had stopped by the house. I had a car for sale. I had a Carbon Ghia. And his name was John and Cheryl. They were like in their 20s. And he looked at my car. And he had a Bible next thing. Now, put me back then. I thought the guy was a weirdo. I said, I'm trying to sell a car and this guy's got a Bible. I said, what in the world has he got a Bible for? Well, he showed me John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, we got to know this young couple very well. And we used to go down to Teen Challenge on Friday night. They had a service. And they really got sick of that song. There was power, power, power in the blood. they really sang it out. So every time I sing it, my mind goes back to that time back there. And, of course, then we got associated with the Baptist Church in Rhinebeck. And then we came to the Lord. And then we realized, hey, we're part of a family. Not just a physical family. We're part of a spiritual family. And I pray here, everybody here is part of the family. And if you're not part of the family, before the end of this service, I pray you'll join the family as the Holy Spirit draws you. It's the best family you will ever have in your life when you're part of the family of God. I know we may not always get along good. No, I'm not saying us here. I better be careful what I'm saying. I'm saying before about I'm going to teach the kids how to steal. And if you don't know anything about baseball, you're going to say, what's that guy, that pastor, teaching the children how to steal? No, I'm teaching them how to take a base. That's what it's called, stealing, a base. Everybody know that? Okay. It's not like stealing. Okay, and now, again, we got to remember that. We're part of the family, and we should enjoy one another. Even in a family, now, I don't know if this is true in your families. Did you ever have a little little difference of opinion or disagreement in your home or your family? None of you did, right? Praise the Lord. Everybody does. I don't care how great your family is. You're going to have some disagreements from time to time, right? And it happens. It happens even. And I always, when I counsel, I'm doing a premarital counseling, I tell the couples, I said, see this lady sitting here? I see this guy sitting here? They're in their 20s. I said, if you live a normal life and the Lord doesn't come, there's a good chance you could be married 70 years. And they look at me and 70 years? You got to be kidding me. You got to remember, these are people in their 20s. Well, people are living into their 90s today and beyond, right? So 70 years is not uncommon. 98, right? So it's the way it is. But I said, let me just tell you, you know, when you first get married and you're dating and you're courting and you're starry-eyed and it's like you're never going to have a problem in the world and everything is wonderful. And I said, after you get married, it's still going to be wonderful, but it doesn't mean you won't have some differences. Work them out. Pray about them. Seek the Lord. Right? That happens. And that's the key to any marriage. The key to a marriage is not having differences, is how to deal with your differences and seek the Lord and stay strong in your marriage. That's what I'm going to be covering on tomorrow night and then the family. I believe the marriage should be cemented together. It should be rock solid. And you got to be built on the rock for it to be rock solid. And you might be sitting here and say, well, my marriage isn't quite like that. Well, this is a great day to say, I'm going to put a stake in the ground. So we have our personal families. And I'm so thankful. I talk with my cousin here especially a lot about our upbringing on the Wilbur family. And I know you hear a lot about it. And somebody said, why don't you take a tour of the Wilbur Peak Road farm? I can stand here right now as I'm preaching and his memory is just flowing through my brain. Okay. Yes, it was difficult. Losing your father when you're 6 months old wasn't easy. But on the other side of the coin, I had a great, it was tough, but it was great in spite of all the difficulties you have. There's memories. It's called making memories, building memories. Those memories are going to last for you, your lifetime. Many of you, even as you're sitting here, you can think back to your own home, your own childhood. Now you might say, my childhood wasn't that great. Well, in spite of that, you can still have a blessed life. And that's what we got to look at. So, first of all, is our relationship to our personal families. Then the Lord here is inside, and they come. And they call for him. They want to talk with him. Now, our Lord's not being disrespectful, but he says, and the multitude said about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and your brethren without seek for thee. They're looking for you. Now, the Lord now says this, and he answered, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? Now, what Jesus has just transferred this to the spiritual body, the spiritual folks. Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? Well, I'll tell you who my brethren are. You are. You're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. We're not physically, I'm physically related to some here, but I'm not physically, we are all physically related somewhere back. I'm talking about close relationship. But we have a bond. And that bond is brought together through Jesus Christ. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you're brought into a body. It's called the family of God. And we're going to be with one another throughout all eternity. So get used to one another. Huh? Get along, right? Get along. I got a little saying. I heard this saying years ago. It says, to be with the saints above, that'll be glory. But to live with the saints below, that's a different story. You know why it's going to be glory above? Why? We're going to be perfect, and we don't have the flesh. You and I have to admit, in this life, on this earth, we have the flesh. And sometimes we don't see eye to eye on things. My thought is this. Always cut the other person more slack. I believe back away. You come up to a point, you don't push it. If there's some difference there, back away. The only way you won't back away is on the Lordship of Jesus Christ or the biblical truth. But when it comes to persons, hey, listen, let the other brother have their part. Be willing to back away. Don't hold your ground. Sometimes we hold our ground, and that's not a good thing. Sometimes I call it being firm but flexible. You need to flex. You need to realize, hey, listen, think about the other brother. Think about the sister. And that's sometimes you have to just take a little lesser position on what you want and give them their desire. Okay? And that's so important. This produces harmony. I'm not saying to be a compromiser, but at the same time, you should be willing to, and in a marriage, I tell the guys, I said, whatever my money is Donna's money. Whatever Donna's money is my money. Okay? Now, I said, I'm not going to go out and buy a car without checking with my wife. I'm not going to go and buy a house without checking, unless I'm buying a car to give her a birthday present. Okay? But I'm not going to buy something like that. But if I'm coming down Route 9 and I want a cup of coffee at Stewart's, I make sure I call my wife up and say, Donna, can I have... No. She doesn't have to call. I don't have to call her up to get a cup of coffee. If she's over in Kingston, she wants to get a new outfit. She doesn't have to call me up to get a new outfit. You know, you got to let some slack there. but on major things. So in the family, you got to learn to compromise and work together and see the other person and how you can help them grow. So this is so important. Now, in the spiritual aspect, in the body of Christ, we have to do the same thing. That's the key. Hey, listen, let's do it this way. Well, maybe we should do it this way. Well, let's pray about it. See what's the best way. See what the way God wants it done. So he looked around about on them which sat about him and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren." He looked around. His mother and brothers are outside. He says, "Hey, they're here. They're here. They're with me." Now, he's not trying to be disrespectful to his mother and his brothers, but what he's saying is he's bringing a spiritual truth to them that is very, very important. There's a relationship within the body of Christ that is so binding. We sing that chorus sometimes, "Bind us together." We're to be bound together in Christ. We're to be strong together in Christ. And that's so important. And how many times, probably it's happened to you, I know it's happened to us, you go out to eat and you bow your head and thank the Lord for the food. And all of a sudden somebody comes over and says, "Hey, are you a Christian? Has that ever happened to anybody here?" Donna and I were down in the Olive Garden in Poughkeepsie a couple years ago. We ordered our lunch. We prayed. Well, not to show off, not to say, "Look at me, I pray." We're ready to leave, and the waitress comes over to us, and I said, "I'm going to pay." And she says, "You don't have to pay. Somebody paid for you." I said, "They did." She said, "Yeah, they saw you praying, and they wanted to pay for you." I said, "If I knew that, I would have got dessert." No, no, I'm kidding. But they saw us pray, and he was a believer. And I asked the waitress, "Well, do you know the guy?" She said, "He comes in for here from time to time." And she knew he was a Christian. And since he saw us praying, he didn't want to come over and make a big deal out of the whole thing, but he just said, "I want to pay for that nice young couple sitting there." You notice I use the word So anyway, it says here, now listen to this, verse 35. "For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." There's the key. Those that do the will of God are my brother and my mother and my sister. What he's saying is those that follow the Lord, those that do the will of God are part of the family. Right? They're doing the will of God. Now, what are our responsibilities in the family? When I got married to Donna, we had been part of a church. I'll be honest with you. Church had very little part in my life. Baseball did. IBM did. You know, a lot of other things did, but church was like back burner stuff. You pull it out on Sunday morning, maybe put an hour in on a Sunday, maybe. Not every Sunday. Got something else to do more. It's going to trump that. I'll do that. And so I didn't realize that you're part of a body. I thought church was just something you did once in a while. And it wasn't very important. And then as I came to the Lord, and then I started reading these verses and finding out what God says about it, it's ultra important. I'm a member of the family. Just as I'm a member of the Wilbur family and the Cerrone family, I can't undo that family relationship. That is my family, physically. I love my family. Do we always agree on everything in the family? Do we? What are you laughing about? No. But I'm not saying I don't disagree with her. I might, or William, wherever William is. But I have to admit, there's times where you may have disagreements, but I'm still part of that family. Now, if you map that over to God's family, I'm part of the family of God. Will I have disagreements with my brothers and sisters? Yes. Yes, of course I will. Does that mean I'm going to undo my relationship to the family of God? No. I'm going to stay in there. Some people, they get their feathers ruffled. And, you know, that's going to happen. It happens in any relationships. Anybody that's in any kind of relationships, whether it's in personal family, the family of God, in business, sports, whatever it is, you're going to have some disagreements. But you work them out. And that's what I want to lead up to. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Jesus had problems with his disciples. They were arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Can you imagine how Jesus had to handle these guys? They were arguing, you know, even they got mom involved, their mother, asking about who's going to sit on the left and the right in the kingdom. And Jesus had to tell them, no, 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 guys, it's not that way. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, be a servant. Just serve. Don't worry about positions. God will take care of that. Just you do what you're called to do. Now, in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. For as the body is one, 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So, what he's talking about here is, Jesus has two bodies. Where is one body? Last Thursday was what? Ascension Thursday. Jesus ascended back to heaven after 40 days, right? Now next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after. 10 days after ascension. He ascended back to heaven, is seated at the right hand of God, but he's got a body here on earth. What's the body called? The church. The Holy Spirit in the church. We are all, there's only one church, one true church, right? Obviously, we don't all meet in one place, but every true believer is part of that church. Down in Florida, when you're down there, right? Whether you're in Florida or New York or wherever you may be, where are you? Long Island. Long Island. Where, it doesn't matter where you're from. Even from the peak where we lived. We're all, there's only one true church. There's many flavors and expressions of the church. Some of the churches are lots of folks in it. Some of the churches are smaller in foot number. Well, as a believer, we're all part of it, right? But, you know, we should be part of a local expression of a church, of the church. This is a local expression of the body of Christ. So that's what he says. The body is one, has many members, just like our human body. How many bodies do I have? One. How many members do I have? Many. Hands, eyes, ears, feet, so on. Internal organs. Okay? So he says here, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Now what does that mean? This is what this means. We have water baptism, but this is not what this is talking about. This is talking about Spirit baptism. The baptism of the Holy Spirit places you into the body of Christ. When you come to know Jesus Christ, the moment you come to Christ, you're put into the body by the Spirit of God, right? So, for by one Spirit, we're all baptized, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. It doesn't matter. You know, one of the things that bothers me is they make such a big deal out of race. You know how many races there are? One. Human race, you're right. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. This is not white. I don't know, it's probably pinkish. Whether you're white, black, red, yellow, it doesn't matter your nationality. There's going to be believers from every tribe, kindred, and tongue in the body of Christ. There is in the body of Christ. Around the throne of grace, there'll be all different nationalities, all types of folks. It doesn't matter whether you're rich, you have a lot of money, or you don't have much money. It doesn't matter your social background, right? We're brought into the body of Christ. We're members of his family. You know, a good friend of ours that some of you know, some of probably most of you don't know, his name was Ray Johnson. Ray Johnson was a black man. He was in his 90s. He went to church with us when we were up the Stone Church. Ray Johnson initially had a little trouble with the color issue. He got on Donna's father a little bit one Sunday because Donna's father wanted to go home. He wanted to get back for choir practice. They had choir practice in the evening, Sunday evening before the service. So I said, Ray, get in the car. Ray's in the front seat. Don's driving. I'm in the back seat. He lived at the Rhinebeck Hotel. They redone the Rhinebeck Hotel. Or Rhinecliff Hotel. See, that's why I need this guy. He corrects me all the time. So all the way down, I'm in his ear. You can picture this. We're riding from that parking lot all the way to Rhinecliff. I'm in his ear. I said, Ray, I don't care what color you are. I said, you're black, I'm whatever this is. I said, don't bring that issue up again. We don't deal with black or white issue here. We don't deal with that. I don't care what color you are. If you're pink, yellow, red, polka dotted, it doesn't matter. That solved it. He never brought the issue up again. He called us twins. He said, the only difference between us, I've stayed out in the sun longer. See, I wanted to put that to bed quick. I don't want race ever to be an issue among Christians. Never. Or nationality. Or age. Or social. Or financial. When you come to Christ, you come into the body. This is not a mutual admiration society. This is the body of Christ. It's a living organism. It's alive. The body of Christ is alive. Amen? You're not part of some dead organization. You're part of a living organization, a living organism called the church, the body of Christ. I'll have to admit, when I'm not around some of you, I miss you. Yeah. You miss me? Huh? I miss you. We got an older son and his family out in Colorado, 2,000 miles away. We only see him maybe once a year. You miss him. You talk to him on the phone, you text message him and all that kind of stuff. But it's nothing like seeing somebody face to face. Right? It's something about it. You can do all this stuff they do with computers, showing somebody's face on the computer and talking to them back and forth. That's fine. But there's nothing like seeing the person in the flesh. They haven't been able to get you across the screen on the computers in the flesh yet, have they? Yeah, we look at one another on these, whatever they call that stuff. There's nothing wrong. That's why it says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. That doesn't mean some preachers preach that to say you got to be in church. That's the wrong way to preach it. The way to preach it is say, We want you here because you're part of our body. You're part of our family. And it's great to see my brother or my sister in the Lord. That's why. Not to count nickels and noses, but to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you. You know, that couple right back there, Pete and Sharon, it's good to see you. We missed you. Okay? So praise the Lord. Huh? Yeah, we'll see you at Pete's tomorrow morning, 8:30. Coffee. Now, it says here about caring for one another. Now listen to this. Verse 26, chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. And whether one member suffers, all members suffer with it. Or one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. This means this. When one of us in the body of Christ is suffering, we suffer with them. We're not physically going through that suffering, but we understand or we come up alongside them. And when one rejoices, we rejoice. So it's we suffer together, we rejoice together. That's the body. It's like your family again. When something happens in your family, you right away respond to the person. And when something happens, you say, praise the Lord for what happened in your life. And that's family life. And in the body of Christ, it's the same way. When somebody comes in and tells me something great's happened in their life, I say, praise the Lord. So this is the family of God. Okay? Now, turn to Galatians. They're doing Galatians, and they just started it in the Sunday school class. But this is Galatians 6. And there's a whole, you might like to do a personal study on this. There's a lot of one another's in the Bible. I'm just going to take about 2 minutes. And I want to go around the congregations. You know a lot of the one another's. There's a whole bunch of one another's in the New Testament. I want to, let's name some. Who knows one another? Love one another. Pray for one another. Be kind to one another. Who has another one? Encourage one another. Forgive one another. Help one another. Any more? Huh? Feed one another. Okay? There's one that we admonish one another. Sometimes we need to correct one another. But there's a whole bunch. And the one another's mean one to another. Now, the one I have here, and I wish I had this hymn picked out, but this hymn has been floating through my head for the last week. It's not in our hymn book. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to tell you it in a moment. But I'm going to listen to this. Chapter 6. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now what this means, if somebody's overtaken in a fault, you help them, restore them. You know what the word restore in the Greek is? Mend. You know when you get a broken bone? It needs to be mended, put together. And time heals that bone back, right? When sometimes you just need a mending process in your life. When you've gone through a tough patch in your life and you've gone through a tough time, you don't want to get all over the person's case. Notice what it says here. You restore one another. You restore one another. You don't come on them with like, you know, blazing guns. I'm going to nail you. You notice what it says here. You restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. You come on with a gentle spirit, not with a harsh, in-your-face spirit. Right? Gentleness. You restore such a one another. Consider yourself all, lest you be tempted. Now listen to this next one. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. There's a one another. Bear one another's burdens. We all have burdens. Do you think I have any burdens? Yeah, I'm not exempt. I'm going to say this. I'm a pastor, but I'm not saying this for me. I'm saying this for pastors. When you're in a church, support your pastor. And I'm not saying this because I'm asking you to support me. I'm saying this just in general. You want to come up alongside the guy. You want to support him. And I know many of you do, and I'm not saying this for me, but I'm just saying in a general sense. We want to support the man of God. Pray for him. Encourage him. Don't think he's a plastic kind of guy that doesn't need any encouragement, that he's exempt from this. No. I go through trials and tribulations. All of us do. It doesn't matter who you are. Just because you got the title pastor in your name doesn't mean, well, this guy, he's so far above the rest of us, he doesn't have a problem in the world. Support him. Support your pastor. Okay? Now, bear one another's burdens. And then it says, every man shall bear his own. Let me give you the illustration. It's a Warren Wiersbe illustration. There's a lake there. There's a lake there. There's land here. You're in a canoe. Two guys are in a canoe. They're going to carry that canoe from there to there. Each one gets on one end of the canoe, but each one has a backpack on their back. You got it? He has a backpack, the other guy has a backpack. They carry the canoe together to the other lake, the other body of water. They're bearing one another's burdens, but they're carrying a backpack on their own back, which they're bearing whose burdens? Their own. That's the spiritual illustration. We all should bear one another's burdens, but there's burdens that we all have that we have to bear alone. You got it? So we should bear one another's burdens, but we also have burdens we have to bear. This is the family. Suppose the guy said here, the two guys, they said, listen, you carry the canoe over by yourself. I'm just going to walk over. That might be a time to get in his face. You ever need help and the person's not helping you? You say, come on, guy, help me. I'm not feeling sorry for myself, but I need some help. I need some help. Don't just let me carry the canoe. You were in the canoe too. You help me. And this is what it is about bearing one another's burdens. You help the other brother. You help the sister. That's family life, spiritual family life. Right? I had a brother call me or send me an email note. He said, I can't be there tomorrow. He said, I wanted to be there, but I have to work. He says, they always call me into work on Sunday. He said, the other person was supposed to work, but I sent back to him, I said, you know, brother, we're going to miss you. You know, you could tell in his no, you could almost hear the anguish in his no, that he wanted to be with us, but he was strapped. He had to go to work, obviously, or he'd be fired. Okay, so sometimes that happens, but you got to have compassion, sensitivity towards others. Okay, I'm going to end with this. How do you know you're in the family? Let me just go to the personal family. How do I know I'm a Saron or a Wilbur? Huh? My name. My name. My mother had me in Kingston Hospital. I was born in Kingston Hospital. Unless they messed up on my birth certificate and I'm somebody else, I don't think. I'm a Wilbur and a Saron by birth, right? I was born into that family. And I'm telling you, I'm very thankful to be in that family. Are you? Okay? I'm thankful to be. But now there's a second family, the family of God. How do you know you're in the family of God? You're born into it by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we must be what? Born again. I was physically came out of my mother's womb a number of years ago. I was born from Edna in Kono. That's my parents. And I was physically born from them. How was I born again? I was spiritually born when I came to Jesus Christ and believed on him as my Lord and Savior. Just as I was physically born from my mom, I was spiritually born from the Lord. The Holy Spirit drew me and called me, and I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And at that moment of time, just as I was physically born, and on my birth certificate it says January 19, whatever the year is. And I was born on January 19th. That's what it says. And I'm telling you when I was born again. April 2nd, 1971, at 9 o'clock. And my God called me. And he said, Frank, you're going to be one of mine. Was already established, by the way, before the foundation of the world. But it came in about in time when I responded to the gospel. Now I'm a member of the family of God. Amen? Everybody a member of the family of God? You truly, listen, if you're not here this morning and you want to be, Jesus Christ died for your sins. We're going to have the Lord's Supper in a few moments. He rose from the dead. And the Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is a gift. I didn't choose to be born in Edna and Kono in Kingston Hospital. That was God. I didn't choose to be born again. I responded to it, but God worked in my heart and called me. And I responded by God's grace to his call. And when that call comes out, and you hear the call from the Spirit of God and from the Word of God, and you respond to it, you're going to be born into his family. And you'll never be relinquished. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a King's kid. I belong to Jesus Christ. Amen? Everybody can say amen to that? Okay, praise the Lord. And if you're not sure of it, talk with us about it. Because that's, Jerry, you came to the Lord at 12 years old. He tells the story, right? You responded as a child to a Christian camp. Where was that in the Catskills? Freehold. He responded by grace, didn't you? And you came to know Jesus Christ. And that's a few years ago. Okay, praise the Lord. Everybody a member of the family? Okay, if you're a member of the family, then you're my what? My brothers and sisters in the Lord. Hi, family. I'd invite you over to eat after the service, but I don't think we got enough room. So praise God. Okay, Tom.